welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, the 16th of February, 2012. Hope you're having a great day. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on The Voice, KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. The station has a lot of juice. Try driving all the way up to Phoenix. You'll hear KVOI the whole way. And so we do have a lot of power behind us. And then you throw in our simulcast partners, KJAA 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas, covering Cochise County. Together, we cover about 8 of Arizona's 15 counties on this program. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we understand that not everyone can listen to the program live, so we have made it very convenient for you to sample any of our programs by logging on to any of 3 venues for 24/7, anytime, anywhere in the world listening: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We're live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We launch today's edition with Colonel Martha McSally, one of 5 Republican candidates running in that special April 17th primary in Congressional District 8. 20 minutes past the hour, Mitch Tobin, he is our Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment, joins us to break down a new poll on how voters in Arizona view environmental politics. 30 minutes past the hour, Allison Cooper will be with me in studio talking about prime time for Tucson tourism. Then we'll close out the show with our monthly edition of Blogger Beat. And once a month, we talk with a different Arizona-based blogger. Today, it is Ted Przelski, author of Rum, Romanism, and Rebellion, known as R3. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also email questions at our website or use our Facebook page. Well, there are 5 Republicans lined up in the special primary on April 17th in Congressional District 8. We are meeting all of the candidates here on the Buckmaster Show. Today, we introduce you to Colonel Martha McSally, the first woman to fly fighter jets in combat in the U.S. Air Force and the first woman to command a fighter squadron in combat in U.S. history. She's the former commander of the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base's 354th Fighter Squadron. She sued the Pentagon over requiring that she not have to wear traditional black Muslim cloaks off the base, and won. Now retired from the military, Colonel McSally was most recently a professor of national security studies at the George C. Marshall Center in Germany. Our pleasure now to welcome Colonel McSally. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Tell me about, we could talk about your fantastic resume, and you've got a lot of firsts to your credit. You retired from the military as a full colonel at age
44.
Yeah, so we could talk about the resume. It's a great resume. But why are you running for Congress?
Well, Bill, I'm running for Congress because I believe our nation is at a very critical time. We have serious, serious issues. There's dysfunction going on in Washington, D.C., and we need leadership, and we need moral courage, and we need someone with the right experience of doing the right thing. And an experience in making things happen. And I felt very convicted and called to come home and be that person for this district and this nation.
When did this calling, when was this decision, or when did it start to percolate?
I've had many people encourage me that when I finished wearing the uniform that I should run for office and continue to serve the public in that way. So this seed was planted many, many years ago. I worked for Senator John Kyle from Arizona for a year as a legislative fellow, so I got to see firsthand, how to serve on Capitol Hill and get things done. After I sued the Department of Defense on the Abaya issue, I then actually personally shepherded legislation through Congress and got it passed unanimously in order to overturn that policy once and for all. So this fabric and this thread of potential public service has been in my life for many years. And in the last year, it has percolated again. But I was serving overseas, and I was really struggling with, do I continue to make a difference there, or back here. And so
I mean, you could have stayed on there, certainly, yes, in Germany. You were happy with what you were doing.
I was very happy,
But Tucson feels like home to
Absolutely.
You?
Yeah. Tucson is my home. I came here first in 1994, bought my house in Rita Ranch. I've been a part of this community for almost a decade on four separate military assignments here. I own 18 acres of land in Elgin, although I haven't paid it off yet, so I guess I don't really own it.
Well, you're very close.
Yeah, and my church is here. I stay connected with them even by live web stream due to great technology. And so very much this is my community. I've been very active in the community even when on active duty.
We're talking with Colonel Martha McSally, one of the five Republicans running in that special CD8 election, which is coming up very quickly. I mean, it's a compressed time, not a lot of campaigning. Name recognition is important. People are going to look, I think, Colonel, for kind of bottom line issues, aren't they, in this thing? They're going to see what is it that separates you from the
right.
pack.
Well, and I hope it's not just bottom line issues, but bottom line character about who the person is that they're voting for, whether they can trust them, whether they're the kind of person they think can be in Washington, D.C. doing the right thing, because the level of frustration is very high in the nation and in the community. So I hope they're looking for, I know they're looking for, someone that they can believe in, someone that shows they can get things done, someone who shows they've got the moral character to do the right thing at a critical time in our nation. And so those are the things that I know are going to separate.
I'm going to throw a few issues out at you. You can give me a couple of sentences on each so we can cover a lot of ground. The jobs issue, everybody seems to put that at the top of the agenda. We must create jobs in this country.
Absolutely. We need to unshackle the private sector and the free market economy in order to flourish and create those jobs for the American people.
How about the border?
The border is a serious national security issue that is disproportionately affecting this community. The federal government has failed to secure the border, and it's a very high priority that we, you know, get to Washington, D.C., and we address these critical issues that are affecting our nation and this community.
How about debt for this country?
Debt is my number one concern. We cannot continue to spend more than we bring in. It's a national security issue. It's a national prestige issue. It is our future depends upon reeling in this debt. And so we have got to ensure that we stop spending more than we bring in. And we have got to not hand the next generations the incredible debt that we're seeing going on in Europe right now. We have to rein this in.
Social Security.
It is so important that we are, you know, looking at the commitments that we have made to our seniors, and that we keep those promises and we do that right thing. And as we're addressing some serious issues for the future of our nation, we've got to be agile, we've got to be creative, and we've got to make some hard decisions for the future generations as we're looking at reining our debt in.
You lived in Germany. Foreign affairs have got to be a very important part of your campaign, and I know that many of us are concerned about what's going on in the Middle East.
Right.
Perhaps war clouds, some believe war clouds really are thickening between an eventual, some kind of military action between Israel and Iran.
Absolutely. We have got to, again, at a time that is critical for us, where we are trying to be good stewards of the resources that we have to look at where our national interests and our national values are and make those tough decisions to engage at the right level with the right tools to do that right thing to defend our national interest. And I have shown that I'm, you know, I've got experience in doing that. I understand the international environment, but I'm also not afraid to do the right thing. And making those difficult choices we have to as to where our resources are going to go.
If you were to be elected to Congress and there was military action taken by the Israelis to knock out some of the nuclear weapons capability in Iran, what would you advocate for the United States' position to be in that case?
Well, again, the important thing is that we're engaged in identifying where our national interests are, that we've got leaders in Washington that have the moral courage to be looking at this seriously and engaging and making the right decisions in order to ensure the safety and security of American people. So those are the types of dynamics we'll have to deal with, and I've shown I have that experience and that leadership in order to address those types of threats we're dealing with.
You are the only woman in the field of five candidates, so that certainly separates you right there. But what will be kind of the defining issue when you sit down with the other candidates?
Well, I'm used to being the only woman, with the three older brothers, and certainly as I've transitioned into being a fighter pilot. Again, I believe the issue is that we have got to reconnect with this community, and we've got to heal some rifts that we've had even within the community. We've got to address the serious situation that our nation is in, and the people are looking for someone they can trust. The people are looking for someone who's going to show leadership to do the right thing in Washington to represent them and not represent Washington to them. And I've shown that that's a fabric of who I am, that I'm not afraid to stand up for what's right. I'm not afraid to put my career on the line. And that is what I think individuals in this community and in this nation are looking for right now as they're frustrated with Washington, D.C.
Let's talk a little bit about your background. Where are you from and why did you decide to go into the military?
I grew up in Warwick, Rhode Island. I'm the youngest of five children, and my father died suddenly when I was 12 years old. So it was this largest defining event of my life. My world was turned upside down as a young girl, and it very deeply has defined who I am. I had a chance to talk to him in between heart attacks, and he told me to make him proud, which I've been driven to do since that day. And also, I really, it just was placed on my heart at a young age that every day is a precious gift, and we have to make it matter, and we have to do things that matter. And so that has been just foundational for me, that experience I had growing up.
You've had to overcome a lot of prejudice, I would imagine.
I have at different stages.
Breaking through kind of a glass ceiling, as it's often referred to.
The opportunities that I've had have certainly been challenging, but I've been well prepared for them through my life events, through the character, through my faith, which is very foundational to me, in order to just focus on the mission, do the right thing, and not worry about those obstacles. God made me an endurance athlete for a reason, so I can endure through those obstacles and press forward and focus on the mission.
Did you always consider yourself a spiritual person, even as a little girl?
I grew up in the church, but it really for me became a personal decision when I was at the Air Force Academy. I personally entered into a relationship with Christ and personally became very foundational to who I am, as a sophomore at the Air Force Academy. And that has been absolutely critical, defining of who I am, the decisions that I make, and the course I take is definitely foundational, my faith in Christ.
This is your first political campaign.
It is.
Tell me about the experience so far.
Well, it's been incredible in many ways. I arrived here and I had to do many things at once. We have to organize, we have to fundraise, we have to get out there, we have to talk to the media as I'm doing right now. And so we're, to use a flying analogy, we're building the airplane as we're flying it. I'm well trained in those areas, and I've got that stamina to be able to do all those things, and so it's been an incredible couple of weeks since I really felt convicted and called to step out for this purpose.
Do you consider yourself a people person? Do you like meeting people?
I love meeting people. I really do. I mean, all those who know me in the community will know that I really love. I love leading people, I love meeting people, and I love listening to people, and so I'm really enjoying that part of it. I'm an extrovert, personality-wise, and so this is...
I think I can tell that after talking with you for a few minutes. And you like animals as well.
I love animals. Mm-hmm. I really do. I finally reunited with my golden retriever, who I left behind when I first... mm-hmm. stepped out in faith to come here and investigate whether this was the time and I was the person in this place to serve like this. So she's here with me now. She was flown over from Munich to L.A. And then my next door neighbors, who are just wonderful people in Rita Ranch, they drove to L.A. and got her for me a couple of days ago. So
we love our companion animals.
Yes, I do. I love all animals. I am an animal person.
Me too. Colonel McSally, good luck. Thank you very much for being with us. Where can folks get more information about you?
That's great. Thanks for asking. My website is McSallyForCongress.com, and that's four spelled out, F-O-R. And I'm also up on Facebook, and so I'd love to hear from you. Today we have a grand opening of our office at 5:30 p.m. on 8060 East 22nd. So I look forward to engaging and talking with all of you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Colonel McSally, running for Congress as a Republican in the special April 17th primary. Good luck. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil.
All right. Coming up now on 12:19 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll be talking with Mitch Tobin. He is the Buckmaster Show environmental contributor as we continue on this Thursday afternoon. Stay with us. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50-plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on KVOI, The Voice. A new State of the Rockies report from Colorado College shows how Western voters defy stereotypes. when it comes to the environment. We're going to talk about the poll results now with the Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment, Mitch Tobin. He joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line from his home in Colorado. Mitch is a former Arizona Daily Star and Tucson Citizen reporter, and he's the author of the book Endangered. It shows why so many species are at risk of extinction and advocates for policies that will protect biodiversity in a warmer world. Mitch, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Tell me about this poll and some of the highlights.
Yeah, it's a very interesting survey put out by Colorado College. And the methodology is worth noting that it was actually done by two polling firms, one a Democratic aligned firm and one a Republican. So it was done in a sort of bipartisan way. And it looked at what voters in six Western states, Arizona among them, think about environmental issues. And it was done in a bipartisan way, this poll, and it really found strong bipartisan support for protecting the environment and for maintaining regulations and for funding conservation, even though these are still very difficult economic times. And so if you were to listen to a lot of the media coverage, you often hear things portrayed as the economy versus the environment. And what this survey is showing is that at least here in the West, we don't see those two things as incompatible or in competition. We actually think that the environment is critical to our economy and that things like environmental regulations can strengthen the economy and even add jobs.
Yeah, because there is that thinking you can't have both.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, back to the whole spotted owl, loggers versus owls debate and jobs versus the environment. And I mean, in my view, and according to this poll, the majority of Westerners, that's really so last century in terms of our thinking, and that we as a region have certainly moved beyond that, and that we see things like our public lands as very vital to our economies. I mean, think of the thousands and thousands of jobs that are connected to hiking and rafting and hunting and fishing and birding. And people recognize that these are million and sometimes billion-dollar industries, and that protecting things like public lands is protecting the economic base of a lot of Western counties and states.
And it's interesting that 50% of Arizonans, that's the highest percentage among the states of those polled, and the other states were New Mexico, Montana, Utah, Wyoming, and Colorado, said the state should do more to protect the water, air, wildlife, and other natural resources. So let's hope that folks take note of this, some of our state and federal lawmakers.
Yeah, I mean, another interesting finding is that this support for conservation is really spans all of the entire political spectrum. So 65% of Westerners identify themselves as conservationists, compared to, say, 30% identifying with the Tea Party or 25% with the Occupy Wall Street movement. And when you ask people, you know, do you think you can have both a strong economy and protect land and water and other resources at the same time, 84% of Democrats say that's true, but so do 76% of Republicans, 74% of people who identify themselves with the Tea Party. And so very often protecting the environment is portrayed in a partisan issue or that it's something that Democrats want to do and Republicans don't. And what this is showing is that at least here in the West, that's not true at all.
People are concerned in Arizona about mining, and this survey also got into that, and that's especially a hot issue with the Rosemont mine controversy here south of Tucson. 70% say the impact of mining on land and water is a serious problem in Arizona, which is significant, of course, not only, well, I guess that recent debate over uranium mining near the Grand Canyon and, of course, the copper mining dispute going on here in Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another issue relevant to Arizona is the issue of illegal immigration and what to do along the border. And so some people have proposed reducing or eliminating environmental protections and regulations in order to build border fences and other strategies. Now, when the poll asked people in Arizona, 73% said that would be unnecessary. 22% said that would be necessary, and it was pretty much the same in all of the Western states. And so people do recognize that the environment is something to protect, and even though there are these big issues related to illegal immigration or mining around the Grand Canyon, people don't want to see the environment sacrificed.
Mitch, we're going to have to run. Mitch Tobin with us, the author of the book Endangered. Is Endangered out in paperback yet, Mitch?
Nope, not quite yet. It's still just in hardback.
Okay, well, when it is, give us a shout, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Mitch Tobin with us from Colorado. He contributes to the Buckmaster Show on environment. We'll be coming up now on the bottom of the hour, 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. But there is still much more to come. We'll be talking about prime time for tourism. Plus, Blogger Beat is coming up on the Buckmaster Show. So stay with us on this Thursday edition. We'll be right back.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Israel's UN ambassador is asking the Security Council and the Secretary General to condemn bomb attacks on Israeli targets in India, the Republic of Georgia, and Thailand. Top U.S. intelligence officials tell Congress that Syrian opposition groups may have been infiltrated by al-Qaeda. A European diplomat says current plans to help Greece with its debt load would still leave the country with a debt that's substantially larger than the nation's entire economic output. Construction work at the World Trade Center site has been partly shut down as investigators try to determine how a crane dropped steel beams 40 stories. Updating Wall Street, the Dow is up about 123 points, the NASDAQ ahead 42. More details at srnnews.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Coming up on 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and our Voice Network partners listening to us in Globe and in Douglas. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you are always welcome to at 790-2040, 790-2040. There's a new survey ranking the Old Pueblo as the number one happiest winter travel designation. The report is issued by the hotel giant Hilton, ranking cities by different categories, including nature, nightlife, and culture. Survey comes at the right time for Tucson, certainly, because let's face it, it's prime time for Tucson tourism February. The weather has been great this winter, and Tucson marks some of our biggest signature events happening, like the gem shows, the rodeo, big time golf. Allison Cooper joins us now. She directs the marketing department at the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau, a department that oversees the development and execution of the Bureau's multimedia advertising campaigns that target leisure, business, and international travels. These campaigns are designed to increase awareness of and travel to Tucson and Southern Arizona. Allison, good to see you.
It's nice to be back. Thanks for having me, Bill.
And well, you've got a big smile on your face, and that's because we live in a very happy place.
We certainly do.
We don't live in Disneyland, but certainly in the winter, coming here from some colder places that have lots of snow, yeah, I think I'd be happy, too, getting off the plane in Tucson, Arizona.
You know, I know you're going to talk about the survey that Hilton has done, and it's amazing that you mentioned Disney, because Disney didn't even make the list. Anaheim didn't make the list. Tucson, the real Southwest, was high on Hilton's list, and I think that we absolutely deserve that accolade. We have a warm, beautiful climate. We have legendary sunsets, spectacular views. And, you know, we talked before about how we have seven destination drivers and why travelers choose Tucson over competing destinations. And most travelers are looking at seven when they're determining where they're going to go next. And right now,
you want to hit on some of those for folks that aren't familiar with the seven?
Absolutely. Outdoor is one of our strongest destination drivers. It's also the very strong sense of place that we have here with our heritage and culture that is deeply rooted in Mexican, Spanish, Western influences. We have golf, and we're going to be talking about the Accenture Match Play soon, where the top 64 golfers come in. You know, there are a lot of destinations who have more courses, but it's our topography and what we offer. It's
and
the
I think
natural
they assets. They re-upped for a couple more years too, didn't they, Allison? I think they're good through 2014 or something like that.
That's what we're hearing.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting news for us, because certainly the exposure we receive from this tournament is it's priceless.
Other big events, of course, we have the rodeo event, and a lot of people think of it as kind of a Tucson thing, but I'm sure visitors love to take part in that as well from all over.
Absolutely. It's the first rodeo on the circuit. It's also an outdoor rodeo. It's the only one from mid-September through May. It's its 87th year, and just this year it was designated by the Centennial Committee as a designated centennial event. And then, you know, we open it up with a wonderful parade that brings 200,000 spectators. So this is truly a Tucson signature event and also one of our destination drivers.
I think there are a couple of other signature events, too, worth mentioning. The 19th annual Southwest Indian Art Fair is Saturday and Sunday. That is this Saturday and Sunday, the 18th and 19th. I've done a couple of stories about that from my TV days, and it's always a fun event. That fair features art, performances, and food, and that's over at the Arizona State Museum on the front lawn. And for those who love Indian art, and I know you love Indian art because I'm looking at a beautiful piece of turquoise and silver, kind of an heirloom piece that you have around your neck. So I know you have an appreciation for Indian art.
Absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely live this necklace. It's my great aunt's, and it was actually mined in Colorado. And during this particular time with the rodeo, this is a way that I can really wear the brand. You know, it's fabulous. And, you know, there are so many events. We talk a lot about the signature events, but you can go to our website, visittucson.org, and check out our events calendar. And you're going to find these art festivals and a number of other fabulous things that are going on in Tucson right now.
And I was going to say, Allison, that there's a sporting event coming up. Of course, a lot of people consider the rodeo as a sporting event. Then there's the Major League Soccer Desert Diamond Cup games will be played at Keno Veterans Memorial Stadium. That's Wednesday, February 22nd through Saturday, March 3rd. A lot of soccer fans in the Old Pueblo are very, very excited about that event. And there's another big national competition. Tucson Trap and Skeet Club is hosting a trap shooting competition Monday through Sunday, February 20th through the 26th. So, I mean, February seems to be kind of the get out and do it month.
Absolutely. And, you know, it goes also into March. You know, we have the Festival of Books, which is in its fourth year, and it's the fourth largest book festival of its kind. And I know that you're a big supporter that as well.
And the station here, KVOI, is one of the media sponsors, very big sponsor of the event. So that's a big deal. And, of course, Mike Fader has done his best to get some spring training games. I think we've got three official spring training games for March. So it continues.
Tickets are on sale now. You know, one thing I did want to bring up too that is really special for Tucson, and that is the Cine Mexico Festival that is February 29th through March 4th. And we've been working really hard. Tucson Film Office is a division of the MTCVB and very involved in helping promote this event. But there are a number of films that have already been premiered at Cannes, Sundance, Telluride. They'll premiere here in Tucson. We've got one particular movie on March 2nd that I believe is going to be at the Fox. It's called Miss Bala. And it's Mexico's entry into the Academy Awards.
Wow.
Because this particular movie is up for Best Foreign Film. It's an ultra-chic thriller. But a number of theaters around town are involved with...
Is this something new, this Cine Mexico Film Festival?
No. We've been doing that, I think, for 2 or 3 years, I believe. And our film office is very involved with it. A number of theaters like Harkin Spectrum, The Fox, even the Tucson Museum of Art will be doing some short movies by female directors and having panel discussions as well as a nice reception following. So again, film, despite the fact that we don't yet have that incentives to bring in more film productions into Arizona.
I wish we would.
Yes.
I really wish we would. Look what New Mexico has done. They have offered the incentives and so many films being made over there. And we have – the weather here is just as nice as New Mexico. I like New Mexico. I love New Mexico, Santa Fe, the northern part of New Mexico. But we could be doing that here, and we have the tradition for filmmaking here.
Well, there are a couple of things that I would love to talk about. One is I think the last time I was on the show, I was telling you about Goats, which was filmed here a year ago in January. Well, it premiered at Sundance. It was seen twice to a sold-out crowd of more than 2,000 in the audience. Christopher Neal, the director, was here in Tucson because it premiered at the Loft. And he did a wonderful thing. He stood up and he said, "When I came here to film this movie, I fell in love with Tucson for real." And the majority of the movie was filmed in Albuquerque, and there was no way these producers fought so hard to make sure that the that Tucson was represented because of its beautiful natural landscape that you could not find in New Mexico.
I mean, people really need to support our film industry. I think that's an area that we certainly can grow the economy in that way. What are you hearing about? Were the gem show folks happy, the numerous gem shows? Were they happy with Tucson? Certainly, they had more choices of downtown dining establishments this year as restaurants continue to open downtown.
Yeah, all the buzz is that they are very, very happy. We are receiving letters. I think letters are even going to the city in which they expressed their positivity about the event this year. Again, we had the best weather. There were more than 40 shows all across town. You know, one thing that we launched last year, Bill, was a gem show app. Because as you know, there's just been an explosion of smartphones and it's really in the travel space. And this year with the gem show app, we had more than 55,000 page views.
Whoa.
So people were really using this device to get around from show to show and to get all over town because, you know, they're everywhere.
Yeah, that obviously resonated, that app.
Yeah, time on site was more than 9 minutes. We had over 7,000 unique visits. And again, the content there really helped them. It was engineered with Google mapping, so it made it much easier for those 55,000 people to get around town. And this is a very important event. You know, it represents anywhere from 65 million to 100 million. I know during that two-week period, there wasn't a restaurant I could get a seat.
Yes,
and
true.
That was a beautiful thing, and I was happy to go home and cook my own dinner, but it was nice to see our restaurants really, really packed.
Well, Allison Cooper, always a pleasure talking with you about tourism, a subject that we like to really support here on the Buckmaster Show. It is a clean, good industry, and it's one of the foundations, one of the cornerstones of what really is of what Tucson has been about.
Yeah, and you know what? 21,000 jobs in Tucson and Pima County, and it's a $2 billion industry, and it needs to be elevated, certainly.
There you go. Allison Cooper, thanks a lot. Have a great afternoon, Allison.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Okay, coming up now, 12:46 on the Buckmaster Show. The blogger beat is next. We'll be talking with one of our local bloggers. That's next. Stay with us. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. ...12:49 on the fastest hour in radio. It zips by, the noon hour on the Buckmaster Show. And once a month, we call it Blogger Beat. We talk with a different Arizona-based blogger, and today it's Ted Przelski. He's the author of Rum, Romanism and Rebellion, known as R3. Ted, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing real well. Tell me about the title.
It actually is derived from the 1888 presidential race, where there was a hotly contested contest between Grover Cleveland and James Blaine. And actually, I think it was 84. But anyway, and Blaine had there was a group of pastors that were campaigning for Blaine, and this pastor made a speech saying, "We will not vote for a party whose antecedents are rum, Romanism, and rebellion." And it referred to being prohibition,
uh-huh.
And the Romanism referred to Catholics, mostly Irish. The rebellion part was because there was still a strong Southern contingent in the Democratic Party. And it was – that phrase ended up getting spread around the Irish community, and it was – everyone was knew that a guy said that on behalf of James Blaine. And he ended up losing two pretty solidly Republican states, New York and Connecticut, because of the Catholic vote, and ended up losing the election. And Democrats around the time started taking that up as almost a badge of honor. And so anyway, I just kind of brought it back. There was a friend of mine who had a blog called Fear Itself for a while, and I thought, okay, I'll take an old Democratic phrase and throw it in, and that's how I came up with it.
How would you characterize your blog?
Left of center.
Mm-hmm.
But I also mix in a lot of just posts about history and sometimes local culture, but where it affects politics. I'm not just writing about those things. I'm actually just trying to talk about them in a political context.
And you've been breaking down some of the of course, with the CD8 election coming up, we've got five Republican candidates. Have been trying to interview all of them and will interview all of them here on the program. Today we had Colonel Martha McSally, very impressive lady, very impressive resume. What do you make of this race?
Well, I think the Giffords organization was a little slow out of the gate in kind of putting together who their candidate was going to be.
Consolidating and getting behind a candidate.
Exactly. Yes. And I think it made a lot of Democrats kind of wait to see what would happen. But now Ron Barber is in, and they've actually already been on the streets trying to get signatures for him. And so he's going to be fine. He's going to be on the ballot, and he's going to be put together a good race. On the Republican side, it's McSally, you're right, very impressive candidate. But I think she may have started a little late.
Because of name recognition?
Well, name recognition and just, you know, having to put together, just having to get the 700 or so signatures is a problem.
So who has the inside track? You think because of name recognition, Kelly and Antonari?
Because it's kind of a snap election. I think Kelly and Antonari, although I've talked to people who disagree with me about Antonari because he's apparently been having some trouble with raising money and putting together an organization. I don't know enough about what goes on with him to know that for sure. But to me, it's going to be, you know, and I think it's going to be an interesting race given their personalities. I think it's that'll be interesting to see. And Dave Sitton may, you know, he's got name ID that's not political.
And we had Frank Antonari, Ted, on the program last week, and I asked him, would you run for the regular election coming up if you lose? And I think he told us that no, he probably would not do that.
Well, that's what's kind of interesting about the way this thing's set up. If you're someone who maybe is just thinking about, let me see if I can do this, then you're not blowing a lot of money, and it's done quickly. The other thing is that really hasn't happened that a lot of people predicted is people jumping into this, you know, who are in other offices but could then still file for the other office after they lose the election because of the way the timing is.
I think
and that hasn't actually happened.
And Ron Barber there, is he leaving the door open for the fall or what's your feeling?
Yeah, he there was a conference call with the press last week, and he did leave it open, although I think that was more because he felt he had to say that. My understanding is that he's not planning on running in the big election, whatever you want to call it, the main election, so for a full term.
How much goodwill, just because people feel – are so impressed the way Gabrielle Giffords has handled this whole thing. How much will that carry over it will be Ron Barber versus the winner of the Republican primary?
I think it's very, very, very important. I mean, what was interesting was I don't know if you got this, but shortly after Barber declared, the National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee sent out a press release, and it was. We want to make sure there's an election and we want to make sure there's a discussion and all of this stuff. And what it sounded to me like they didn't quite know how to run against someone like Ron Barber. I mean, there have been plenty of
– they just are looking for a strategy, in other words.
Yeah. I think there have been plenty of people out there who've been, for lack of a better term, nice guy candidates. And sometimes they get chewed up by this process. Ron, it isn't just that he's just some nice guy. I mean, he's become the symbol for civility and for a lot of things that have happened in this community over the last year. And I think it's really difficult to attack that.
You are also a fantastic follower of soccer. You write for the TucsonSentinel.com, which we support here on the Buckmaster Show. They are one of the venues where people can listen to our program. You're kind of the soccer specialist. You got to be happy with the Desert Cup event coming up.
Oh yeah. And what's been fun about it too is we've had these preseason games that are just training games, not necessarily open to the public. And I've gotten to interview players in those games and also the ones up in Phoenix and Casa Grande. And it's funny, even players who are not going to be participating in the Desert Diamond Cup and I won't even bring it up with them, but I'll bring up preseason training. And they'll say, oh, yeah, and what's going on in Tucson is going to be great. And even looking at the Major League Soccer's website and some of the other soccer websites that you get this intense coverage of these preseason games, which you didn't see 4 or 5 years ago, even from the league and the teams. And I think a lot of that is because of both the tournament here and the one in Orlando. And it's been a way for the league to really push an opening to the season the way that baseball kind of does with spring training.
And it's fantastic for our tourism industry too.
Yeah. Last year, I mean, I've got three friends coming in from Boston to see the New England Revolution. I got an email from a fella in Los Angeles that's going to come out because he wants to see the LA Galaxy. You know, so yeah, it's been big for that. There's, you know, there are folks that are going to come up from Mexico because – not just because it's soccer, but, you know, you've got Rafael Marquez who plays for New York Red Bulls, who's a major star of their national team. And so it's going to be a huge big deal, and what's going to be a lot of attention to the event and to our city also. It was funny last year talking to the players and how much they liked it here, and even in this year too. I mean, the Kansas City players in particular, because they were here for so long, they ended up pulling them into a lot of community events. They even had them visit with the kids at Juvenile Hall.
Wow, that's great. So they became a part of the community.
Yeah, exactly.
Ted Przelski, author of Rum, Romanism and Rebellion, known as R3, has been our guest on Blogger Beat. Thanks a lot, Ted.
All right. You're welcome.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Also, the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at FlowersRieger.com. Coming up tomorrow on Friday Focus, our Friday Reporters Roundtable, and we will be speaking with Mike Varney. He heads up the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce. That's coming up on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We hope you have a great afternoon and tune in tomorrow. We'll be here live on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.